Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, the last couple weeks we've been looking at a particular theme of knowing that our society has definitely changed. You can turn on the news, you can look on social media, you can find everywhere and see that times are changing and they are quite rapidly. And we've got to a point where it seems like there's a lot of infighting. If it's not race relations, it's politics. It's about countries going after this or that. It's about gender. It's about all these things. And we uncovered last couple weeks that it's really about a bigger issue than these things. The bigger issue is that we're living in a time where we're trained to have different groups of people fighting against each other, whether you're oppressed versus somebody that's oppressing you. And as Christians, we know that there is a better way. Our goal isn't to force equality or to force equity by pitting people against each other. That will tear society apart in the name of love. That's actually not love. Instead, we have found out that God has already created all people equal, whether that's our equal sinful condition or our equal condition of God's grace. And last week, we talked about how to be courageous as Christians today, how you can give a voice for why you have hope. Why do you choose to be a good and kind and loving person? Is it because of your own kindness and how you are born that way, or is it because of something more? So I urge you to still be courageous, but today we're going to learn what to be courageous about. How do we have faith in the midst of a faithless generation, you might call it? How to confess our faith. And to confess the faith simply means to be bold, to stand firm on what's going on in your heart. Now today, we've heard a little bit of reasons how you can do so. Each of you has a Bible in front of you. Today, I want you to pick that Bible up. We're going to make sure that there is no dust collecting on these. And turn with me with that second reading that we heard today in our scripture lessons, that letter of St. Paul, 1 Corinthians. It's his first letter to these Christian Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he's talking about the resurrection, not just of Jesus, but the resurrection of all faithful people. 1 Corinthians 15, and it's on page 961 of your pew Bibles. Paul's preaching to a culture, much like America, where, yes, they believe Jesus died and rose again, but people could do whatever they wanted with their own bodies because the soul was more important to the Corinthians. Eat, drink, and be merry was the cry of Corinth, and kind of is similar to America. Now, our reading for today ended on verse 20. I want you to read with me and follow along what Paul says next as our basis of verse 21. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. We're talking about Jesus, we're talking about Adam right from the beginning today, and this is going to be the basis of our call to confess the faith. But first, this year happens to mark its 510th anniversary, as you can see. On the Sistine Chapel, on the central panel, on the ceiling, is Michelangelo's Creation of Adam. It's a masterpiece that has endured the test of time. And in it, you can see God's powerful body stretched to its full majesty and might and supported by angels in flight. And he's wrapped in flowing robes. And in so, God leans his right hand and reaches toward Adam in that act of creation to impart life and intellect. And in a pose mirroring God's, Adam is a reminder that man is created in his image. As first of all mankind, Adam represents perfect harmony with God, but one that is destined to be lost, of course, and never recaptured until that last day of resurrection. Adam, represented as a resting athlete, languidly reaches his left hand toward God's and his finger towards God's finger. And if you catch it, there's a space in between that remains. That small space in between Adam's and God's fingertips leaves us wondering, what kind of power must be present in that small little space? The story of all creation is taking place. And the story of our creation is still not yet complete. You see, in that small space, it tells us that the ever-unfolding story of our faith is not done yet. We are living in the now, but not yet. And since we are in Christ, we must still have the courage to confess our faith. Yet, we may wonder, what do we say in our day-to-day actions, and how do we say it? And even that word confess might seem a little intimidating. However, we know that confessing our Christian faith simply means to just speak God's truth and do it in love, as Scripture tells us. Scripture encourages us to always be prepared. Always be prepared to have a defense when someone asks you the reason for the hope that is in you, and do it with gentleness and respect. Today, we are called to do this again. With gentleness, respect, and love, speak God's truth about our place in humanity and the place of all others. Today, we're called to confess the faith in a woke and changed world. But here's the thing. Those 2 inches between God's finger and Adam's finger, those 2 most electric and charged inches of space, that space will become your office, your workplace, your school, your home, and your church. Because it's in there, in that most electrifying space, in those inches between Adam's finger and God's, it's right there where our Christian life happens. Between God and man. That's where the action to which we are all called to live happens. Where the doing of God's word takes place. And why? Well, that's because, of course, what we just heard. That's what St. Paul is asserting in that letter in the church in Corinth. That small space tells us all that the story of God's creation is not yet complete. There's still space that remains to be filled. There is more to creation, says Paul. There is a new creation that we are awaiting, and we are in the midst of this moment, friends. We just heard Adam died. Adam and Eve in the garden, they died. And even though God breathed into Adam the spirit of life, Adam disobeyed God and suffered that penalty of sin, death. And Scripture tells us, in Adam, all people die. And on top of it all, after the fall, since then, there are now many lives that don't reach their full potential. They are sometimes forgotten, even lying on the side of the road with their hands outstretched. In Adam, all die. You and I will die. Unless Christ returns before our final day, you are going to die. When it depends on you because of your habit and my habit of mirroring Adam, our habit of pointing our finger at somebody else, we are headed for death and even damnation. But baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, you and I are made alive. In Christ, we are told that we are given the same breath of life. You might ask, why? You see, it's because those 2 hands, God's hands and man's hands, they have now become one in the same. In Jesus, they are both God's hands and man's hands together as God has become flesh. We just celebrated that in Christmas. God has become flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. And now, when it comes to Jesus, it's not just a few inches between fingers. This time, it's the length of outstretched arms for you. This time, your breath of new life is given when Jesus breathes his last. It is finished. But there's more. With Jesus' own pierced hands, he bridges that gap between God and man. He bridges the gap between life and death by rolling away the stone of his tomb with the point of his finger. And that space, you see, where you and I live, where we do our day-to-day actions, that space between Adam and God, that space is now filled by Jesus. And yet we still remain in this gap that we call life. The story of creation is not yet fulfilled. Death is not yet destroyed, but that will come later. And so to Corinth, Paul proclaims the resurrection, not just Jesus' resurrection, your resurrection hope. And we live in that space between Adam and God until Jesus comes again to do just that. You see, in this gap, we anticipate the resurrection of all the faithful in Christ. What has happened to Jesus, that's your and I future. Yes, in Adam, all die, but so also in Christ, all will be made alive. To the church in Corinth, they all said, dead men don't rise again. They believed Jesus died, sure enough. It was just another hoop of faith to jump through. They had hope in this life only. They believed they could do whatever they wanted with their bodies. And they were good enough as faithful creatures. And Jesus just happened to make them better. No! Jesus came for one mission, to raise the dead, and that includes you and me. Not to improve us, to make us more improvable people, more moral people, more perfectible people, or even people to be taught. He came to raise the dead. And that's your future. Jesus' suffering and death is not the end of his story, and it's not the end of your story either. And if Jesus can raise his own body on Easter morning, he will raise yours. And it's there, in that electrifying space, in those inches between Adam and God, that we will wait with Jesus in this anticipation for that last and final day. And it's there that your Christian life happens still. It's in this space that life matters. What you do matters, even after this life. It matters when you're teaching the youngest of all people. It matters when you're changing the day's third baby bottle, when you're changing the day's fourth diaper. It matters when you're working 10-hour shifts just to put food on the table. What you do in this space matters because it lives out your Christian faith just the way God designed it. And it's in this space, that's where the widows are in their ache, loneliness, vulnerability. And in this space, this is where orphans dwell, the ones waiting for a family to claim them and hug them. It's in these 2 inches of space that are the jail cell of an inner city kid who had just days before been so full of life and promise. These 2 inches of life are the hospital room, crammed with equipment and in the bed beneath the sheets, a really small child with skin as pale as ever you've seen. And sitting on the bed are the parents who, when you enter and step into their small world, they turn at you and just wonder, crying. Those 2 inches are your bedroom where you enter at night and close the door behind you and wrestle for days and nights with your own demons. It's in those charged inches of space that are the pulpit right here from which you, a starving congregation, awaits even a morsel of nourishment, desperately eager to know if this young pastor has got it in him to give you something spiritual to eat. It's in those 2 inches, friends, that they are the baptismal font which celebrates the waters of new life. They are the funeral, they are the wedding. Those 2 inches, they are the table right here where bread is broken and the cup is poured out in communion with all of God's saints, where heaven and earth come for a moment to touch again. It's in this fearsome and wondrous space that you and I get to exercise our Christian faith together in this world. And no matter how crazy life gets, the truth of it is, we wouldn't have it any other way. Do you know why? It's because in that space, Jesus is there. Trust in his promises again. In the empty, unlikely, and even anxious spaces of your own life where you and I dwell, Jesus is there. And until he comes again to raise you and me and all of God's people into new life, know that Jesus is here for you. Amen.